Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Everybody, welcome back. Another episode of Simply Amazing. Tim Ryder from the Apple. Taryn Sharma back with me. What's happening, my man?
Nothing much. Tough series loss, but showed a lot of fight.
Tough series. You know what? I can say, 100% genuinely that I don't even care they lost the series. I loved what I saw. Like, you know, in other sports, it's very tough to hang a moral victory on things. And even in baseball, it's very, it's iffy at times. 162 games. If you're going to lose a series, this is kind of a way to lose a series, man.
Yeah, absolutely. That sandwich game there in the middle was insane. but the series opener, Mets looked really good, hit a bunch of home runs, but just couldn't really keep the ball in the ballpark, and Jack Peterson looked like Barry Bonds out there.
He looked amazing. And, I said it on Twitter, I guess, during the game on Wednesday. It's Kyle Schwarber just in another body. I mean, that's what he's doing. He just took over that series. And, I think Tuesday was that's just baseball at its best. That was just two teams that didn't want to lose. And, you can get on Edwin Diaz for letting things get away with two outs in the ninth. But, like I said, if you're going to lose a game, that is one hell of a way to lose a ball game. You just got to hope they don't let it happen when it counts down the line. But, yeah, that's, I think that's just – that's baseball, Susan. And – it was too much fun for me to really to get mad. I took a nap and everything. I'm like, all right, I'm going to watch this whole game. And I did. And it was awesome. And I was up and I threw my phone like on the other side of the bed. I woke up in the morning and I saw a text from you. I'm like, oh, I could have had a buddy during the game.
Yeah. I think it was just a series where the Giants were very desperate. Also, they had come in with a losing streak. They had been scuffling a little bit of late. So I think you saw. Yeah, I agree. A team that was very desperate not to lose. And with Edwin, walks will haunt. Right, we know that the walk with two outs, that's tough. The question I wanted to ask you is, what did you think about Buck not going to Joely Rodriguez to face Jock with the 11-8 lead and instead letting Drew Smith stay out there?
I kind of think Smith earned that spot. And of course, hindsight's always going to be 20/20. I think Smith earned that spot. I think Smith had a rough patch and he hasn't been as consistent as he was to start the year, but I can't say I would have done it differently. I think, Smith, he's got electric stuff. And so I like Rodriguez. I love his arm angle. I love what he can bring to lefties. And yeah, like I said, looking back, sure. Could it have been a better option? Most definitely. But I'm not going to look back on it and say, what if? I think the Mets, even taking Monday night into account, what they did in the later innings on Monday night, and then just carrying that into Tuesday. And yeah, so many positives to take away. I'm really having a tough time finding myself concerned or worked up about many of Buck's decisions. I'm sure he had the same thing tossing around in his head. Flipped a coin and probably just went the wrong way, but I certainly see the merit to go with Smith.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not all going to work out, and and obviously we're second guessing, and if Buck thought that that was the best decision, then that's what the team would go with. I did like seeing 28 runs put up over three games. That was awesome. Lindor heating up, that was great. JD Davis had the great game to start the series. Several positives to take out, even though the team fell short in a couple of games. Any concern with you about Chris Bassitt? Gave up, I think, 8 runs. That's the most he's ever given up.
No, not really. I think he got hit hard against the Giants earlier in the year. I know they have, seen him in the past between interleague and stuff like that. A lot of that roster hasn't really had a lot of turnover. They're familiar with him. And yeah, I think that maybe down the line, if you square off against these guys in the postseason, maybe you take into account that these guys may very well have Bassitt's number. But no, yeah. I'm not overly concerned. I think his stuff maybe wasn't as crisp as it has been, but you know, even when he was looking sharp, it was they were just all over him. So I don't know if maybe it's they found something, they see something, or just, you know, some guys are just, we've seen it so many times, we know kind of what's coming. And kind of to that effect, I have all the confidence in the world that Bassitt will adjust that, because, you know, he has what, 6 pitches that he throws with regularity. For the Giants to pinpoint, you know, it looked like, I don't know, I'm not going to say it looked like they knew what was coming, but they looked very comfortable up there. And that's like the opposite of what a pitcher wants. So I'm sure he'll make the adjustments. I'm sure Hefner will get in there and make the adjustments. But yeah, the Giants certainly seem to have his number.
Yeah, you mentioned that first start that he also didn't pitch well against the Giants at Citi Field. And then after that, he bounced back very nicely. So looking forward to seeing that. I think he'll probably pitch maybe this the last game of the Phillies series. So the Mets are headed home. They've got 6 games coming up against division rivals.
Oh, eat them up. You got to eat them up, man. You beat up on inferior ball clubs, and I think the Phillies are letting everybody know who they are. That's a powerful offense, but there are holes in that roster, and pretty much on every side of the chalk. And, you know, I think teams are going to have to take advantage of that, especially in the Mets' case. What do you think of David Peterson? He was a little shaky early on, but, boy, he really snapped into form on the second half of Tuesday's game.
He did. He gave up the home run to Crawford, I believe, and then after that, settled in very nicely, and that's another good start for him. So he's had a few good appearances right now, and I think we're going to need to rely on him a little bit more, given the issues that the staff has right now. Zipacki struggled, but I think that they wouldn't hesitate to go to him again, especially if they have to go to him in that national series. Maybe he settles in.
Had live, very lively stuff.
Yeah, and I think that maybe he, against a less prolific offense, he might settle in and pitch better. So hoping that he gets another opportunity, hoping that that Peterson continues to make the most of this opportunity. And we saw that McGill started throwing again, so that means that the biceps tendonitis that's been keeping him out, I guess it's been relieved a little bit. So I'm hopeful that he's going to be back here in the next couple of weeks.
Eligible Friday, I believe. I'm not sure if he'll be on track for a return, but at least eligible. I'm sure they're going to have to ramp him up somewhat. I don't know to what extent he's been throwing. I think DeGrom's also, you know, making at least moderate headway, which is extremely encouraging. Trevor Williams, before we move on to other things, Trevor Williams looked really good on Wednesday. I mean, you know, I think he's settling into his role very, very well. If you have a guy who can come in and give you 4 innings, you know, at the drop of a dime after starting 4 days before, I think that's an unbelievable asset, especially, you know, going through a long summer where every win is going to be very important because you don't know who's going to be making a run. We saw so many teams make a run last year, whether it be wild card or divisional. You know, having every reinforcement you could possibly have is a boon. And I think that Trevor Williams is certainly has to be a part of that. How the roster shakes out once everybody's back and healthy, that's another question. But, boy, you got to love what he's been giving him so far.
Yeah, every time he goes out there and eats those innings, that's saving another arm in the bullpen. So, I agree with you that I'm not sure what the long-term outlook on him is and where he fits on the roster. But if he's a guy that can come up and give you a start if someone needs an extra day, that's big time. And Nagosek has been good to that end. And I'm hopeful that Zapucki and Peterson will be able to fill those roles again too. So if you have enough of these swing arms that you are not overtaxing the bullpen and that they'll be available to, you know, because the usage gets weird once you get to October and we need these guys to be healthy enough and not have thrown all their bullets out that that they'll be available to maybe be pushed for the extra out, those 10, 15 high pressure pitches. So yeah, I agree with you. All of these guys are filling a role and they're valuable to the larger team.
Oh yeah. And that's, you know, I think that's just the name of the game. It's not, you know, you can micromanage and look back and second guess, you know, the most minute decisions that are made. And yeah, those decisions might lead to a loss, but ultimately, I mean, it's a long season. If you know, Joely Rodriguez, he's been getting a decent amount of work. I don't have his numbers in front of me, but he's been getting in there very consistently. Drew Smith, I think if he finds that consistency, he can be a two-on, one-off type of guy. And the way his stuff plays against batters on both sides of the plate, I would, I guess just to bring it back full circle, I'm totally on board with just mixing and matching and making it work. You know, take guys out of their comfort zone. See what happens. You know, they might get blown up. They might succeed and kind of ride that confidence for another two or three outings. You kind of never know. But with a half dozen plus game lead in the division and a 14 above 500 or something along those lines record in May, you know, this is probably the most ideal time to kind of tinker and see which ways, what other options you can kind of work into your game plan.
Yeah, I agree with that. And like you said, the point of building up these division leads is so that you can weather these types of storms. So this week, the Mets are going to see the best that the Phillies have to offer. Eflin on Friday, and then old friend Zach Wheeler on Saturday. And he's really had like a pretty solid May. He had a really terrible April, especially that first start, I think, against the Marlins. He got beat up pretty badly. But since then, he's really settled in, and I think he had 10 strikeouts against the Braves in his last time out.
Oh, yeah. No, I think he had a rough start to the year after I want to say he had some shoulder tightness, missed his first start, and then he was on the COVID IL beginning of the month or maybe middle earlier this month and really bounced back terrifically. I'm still such a huge, huge Zach Wheeler fan. I'm really looking forward to seeing the rest of his career kind of develop and, you know, what he's done so far and the potential that his stuff has. If the Phillies can kind of develop into a winning ball club, a consistently winning ball club, and Wheeler is the ace there, you know, there's no telling where his career might end up. I'm very, definitely very excited to see where he ends up. We do have to take a very quick break. We're going to just kind of jump into the offensive side of things. And I think that'll probably be it, but hang tight. We'll be right back.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And welcome back. It's me and Taryn. We're just kind of kicking it, getting ready for the Philly series this weekend. And the ups and downs. I think you mentioned Lindor in the first half, and I think that's a perfect example of just the ups and downs of the season. We talked about Lindor on the last episode, talking about his slump, and I don't think either of us were really concerned with it. And, over the first half of the month of May, this is through May 14th, hit 143, 214, 225 since, and this is over 11 games, 51 plate appearances. He's hitting 310, 412, 619, two doubles, three homers, a triple, multiple outstanding plays in the field. This is a guy who, of course, the fans were very hard on last year. A lot of people were very hard on him. I think he was pretty hard on himself.
Yeah.
The way that he's bounced back, and now, started off the year scorching hot, really, really fell off, and has come back even stronger, apparently. What are your takeaways from this? This is a guy who looks like he's ready to make MVP moves.
Well, yeah, he is leading all shortstops in wins above replacement, I think I saw. So he's been solid overall. Yes, it's going to be when he was so white hot at the beginning of the year, I think everyone was like, oh, wow, like he might just carry this team. It's not going to be like that. There's going to be ups and downs, obviously, like, and you don't necessarily know what is ailing these guys, like a small pinch in a nerve or something like that can end up making the player do one thing differently. And then just think about how impossible the task that they're being asked to do is.
Yeah.
They're being asked to, in what, like a blink of an eye, determine whether they're going to swing or not. So that I think it's going to go up and down, but he has been good. You can tell that the other guys on the team enjoy playing with him. They look to him as a leader. He and McNeil seem to be getting along very well. I thought that triple was an awesome moment for him because he's been having better at bats and something good happened.
Yeah. And I think it kind of reverberates through the rest of the lineup. When Lindor is right, everyone else kind of keeps, I know it's not the case always, but you see guys kind of snap into form. I mean, look at Escobar. Monday he went 2-for-5. Tuesday everybody had hits on Tuesday, but Tuesday went 4-for-5. So did JD Davis, by the way, who I didn't really take a hard negative stance, but I wrote a JD Davis article this week and I was just a little surprised at, of course the expected stats, everybody knows that he's hitting the shit out of the ball, but like the things that he's hung his hat on in the past, he hasn't been doing, and boom, of course that night he goes 4-for-5. But that's the type of stuff that I think Lindor brings. Lindor is that spark plug. And, even going back to those mid 2000s Mets, and I know they're different types of players. They're both shortstops, but look at Jose Reyes. When that motor started, the Mets went with it. And it's similar, but there's just so much talent around Lindor that, boy, if he's the fuse, wait till that fuse runs out. Cause boy, you've seen it. Look at just Monday and Tuesday, the Mets put up 25 runs. And it was almost, it came in bunches. So theoretically they can go and put up a dozen whenever they want. That's just kind of one dynamic of this team. But I mean, Luis Guillorme, who I just did a little article on Thursday, it came out on Thursday afternoon. you know, what he's been doing is incredible. What Brandon Nimmo's been doing is incredible. What Alonso's been doing, the development that he showed at the plate. I mean,
yep.
It's, you know, Canna, he's really turned it around. Marte's got his batting average up to like 270 now. You know, whatever ups and downs, I think, to echo what you were just saying, you know, this team is just so seasoned and such a strong, mentally and talent-wise, strong ball club that, boy, they weather that storm easily.
Yeah, and they believe that they can come back from any deficit too, right? Yeah. Which is an awesome thing. Even on Tuesday, they get the lead, they go ahead 11-8, and then immediately, you know, cough it back up to Jock Peterson, and then they put together good at bats and manufacture a run in the top of the ninth. So,
Jake House,
yeah, and Dom with the big hit, right, out to Triple's Alley. So, yeah,
even Dom's turning it around. He's had a really rough time, but you know, you can see the confidence coming out of these guys who were struggling.
Yeah, and they're going to keep working, and yeah, I don't think that there's any reason to be concerned. Two series losses now, and the season's not over. So, yeah, these big games coming up. I'm looking for Starling Marte to have a big series. He just destroys Eflin. He has like a average over 500 in 13 at bats against him. So, I'm hoping for him to have a big series, and hopefully the Mets can make the most of these six games. Cause the schedule continues to be tough after this.
Oh man, this is after you, I don't want to say you hate overlooking anybody, but
right.
If you want to look past the Phillies and the Nationals, you know, you got to go west without an off day. Mind you, you got to travel cross country Wednesday night, play Thursday. Yep. You got four in LA, three in San Diego. Then you get an off day and then you got to go to Los Angeles. And the Angels are playing really, really good baseball right now. And it's a really, really tough offense. That's a buzzsaw.
Yeah, and so they really need to make the most of these games and continue to keep pace in the division. Because, that 10-game stretch out west in Southern California is going to be tough. And hopefully McGill will be back by then. That'll alleviate some of the pressure that's been put on the other arms, the Walkers and the Cookie and Bassett to come through every time. But still exciting baseball, and we're starting to get into that summer swing.
Yeah, I was going to say, once you wrap up that West Coast trip, you're in the middle of June. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, you're at the All-Star break. And I think we're gonna wrap it up on potential Mets All-Stars. You know, you can look around. And, of course, I think, you know, if Scherzer would have stayed healthy, I think he had a very, very strong shot at it. We'll see what happens with the rest of the pitching staff. I think Bassett should certainly be in the mix. Walker, if not for for an IL stint and a couple of and a short outing, I think he's put together a very, very fine year under the radar. Mm-hmm. Offensively, the Mets have a very good chance of having a handful of all-stars.
Yeah, and I'm hopeful that Pete Alonso will be going. He's had a great, great year. He's really carrying the team in a lot of these offensive categories, especially with his power. So, I'm hopeful to see him there.
I mean, I'm on Fangraphs now. I'm just looking at the National League. What am I looking at? Top 30 F4? I see. Just in the top 20, there's three Mets. You got Alonso at 17. Oh, I'm sorry, four Mets. Alonso at 17, Lindor at 13, McNeil at 11. I don't even think we've talked about McNeil yet, and he's having quite possibly the best offensive season.
This is Pete McNeil. Yep. This is as good a player as he can be.
Oh, my goodness. How the last regime, or why and how they wanted to change him is just beyond me. I'll never understand that.
Thank goodness that no one traded him. Because even in the offseason, people were discussing it.
You know, and you have to think that Buck Showalter has something to do with that. I was talking about it with Guillaume on Thursday, how in March, he's like, you know, I don't think many people realize just what Luis Guillaume can be for this ball club. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but boy, yeah. I would have to imagine that he knew what he had in McNeil and said, no, 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 this guy's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
And then he got Brandon Nimmo, sixth in the NL in F4, hitting 294, 385, 451. Again, theoretically, Nimmo, McNeil, Lindor, and Alonso could be there. And this isn't even looking at potential competition to get there. But boy, deservingly so, I think that any one of them, all four of them, could be there. And I don't think anyone would blink an eye.
Yeah, I would agree. And so it'll come down to the voting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got Goldschmidt at first, which is very tough. He's having a monster season.
Been very, very hot. Yeah.
You know, I guess third base, the Mets are no worries there. Center field wise, I mean, Dalton Varsho, who everyone told me he's not going to be a good player. Look at him. He looks like an idiot in center field with 30 mile an hour wins. Anyway, he's seventh in the National League in F4, by the way, for those feisty Diamondbacks. I hope they beat the Dodgers a few times this weekend. I really do. But
that would be nice.
Yeah. I mean, you got Jazz. You got Harper having a really nice year. Freeman, another guy in the first base mix who Pete's going to have to get around.
Yeah.
I do think Nimmo could easily make his way in there. What do we got on the second base side? Ooh, Dansby Swanson's having a nice year. His batting average really isn't there, but McNeil should be at second. Just what I'm looking at now, he really should. I don't see anyone else who could really do much better. Oh, wow, Tommy Edman's having a nice year. He plays center, he plays left. I don't know. Look at me. I'm just scrolling fan graphs, talking to myself.
Cardinals have a great team.
Oh, my goodness. Just, you know, there's so much depth. This is uncharted territory. Your Twinkies are looking well.
They are, yeah. Well, they've been doing exactly what you were talking about, beating up on bad teams. And so they just took two out of three, probably should have swept the Tigers again. And then they've got Kansas City coming in for four, and then they go to Detroit. So these are the games where they've got to win, because the White Sox are going to get healthy eventually.
Oh, yeah. Oh, most definitely. Cease got hit hard by Boston the other night, but I like him a lot. You got to hope Lance Lynn comes back for them. But Minnesota, man, that is a very fun team. I do like Kansas City, and they usually play you guys well. But, this is a series. It's a series that, you know, like we were talking about in the first half, it's that momentum. It's that confidence builder. That's what these series are for. And they're going to play up, you know, less than stellar teams. If they have heart, they want to beat you. They want to come in and shake up the big dog. But I guess for the Mets and for the Twins in the same breath, you know, you just go to work, take care of business, and hopefully come out of there two out of three, three out of four, whoever it applies to.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think the Red Sox and White Sox are still playing. I think they're going to play again this week.
Really? I know they were at it tonight, but I guess that this is a new series. What was it? A home run?
Oh, no. Then the Red Sox have the Orioles this weekend. I'm losing track of the days, Tim.
Yeah. You're knee deep in your bar exam, right?
That's right.
Oh gosh. I couldn't imagine. When is that? And what, your test is summertime?
Yeah, that'll be the end of July.
All right. Oh, so you got a long road ahead.
Yeah. Got to relearn everything.
Are you going, you catching any Twins games this weekend?
I'm hoping to catch tonight, but that'll probably be the only one in this set. And then the Yankees will come next homestand, which will be really, I just love watching Aaron Judge play. So hopefully you'll stay healthy.
I feel the same way about Stanton. And unfortunately, he just hit the IL. He's like one of my favorite hitters to watch, like ever. Boy, he makes contact. I could watch that shit on loop for hours. I love it. but they're playing well. The Orioles, speaking of the Orioles, they've been playing outstanding baseball, but we'll have to do an MLB wide episode one of these days. Cause
we should, yeah, maybe at the All-Star break, we can do like a breakdown of how different teams have been doing, how the other divisions are looking, talk about some of the other guys that we like watching. Cause I know you and I are both, we try to stay plugged into, to a bunch of different teams.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I try to, you know, I still read my box scores first thing in the morning. That's just what I do. It's, you know, it's baseball, baby. We love it. But I think that's all we got for this week. I'm not sure if we're back Monday or Friday. It's TBD, but we will be back as always. Everyone have a very safe and very happy Memorial Day weekend. Yeah. Taryn, you got anything else?
What's the sign off again?
It's let's fucking go Mets. See you guys next time. Peace.